Sometimes I think it's very hard for Christians to learn how to be Christians in the society that we live in or our current culture. We live in a culture that applauds individualism and self-expression. The world says, be who you want to be. The world says, express yourself. So because of that, we have become loud and arrogant and very opinionated. Does my opinion matter? What about your opinion? Does your opinion matter? The world says your opinion matters. But I think, you know, even the internet has made us being opinionated worse. Because now we can hide behind a screen name and we can blast our opinions all over the world. We can hide behind our anonymity and tell people what we think without learning what they think. You see, we could loudly trumpet our religious convictions, and anybody who disagrees is a heretic. We could loudly trumpet our political agendas, and anybody who disagrees, well, we just hit the unfriend button, right? We could loudly trumpet our parenting advice, and anybody who disagrees, well, they just don't know what it means to raise a child. You see, the world has said, your opinion and my opinion matters. But does it really? What about in matters of faith? Does my opinion matter? What about in matters of conscience? Does my opinion matter? Well, the world says that it does. And the world wants you to express yourself. The world wants you to be opinionated. And anybody who disagrees with that, well, they can just get over it. But is that what it really means to be a Christian? Is that what it really means to act like a Christian? You've heard me say it before. I'm not a Facebook person. And one of the reasons I'm not a Facebook person is because I don't care what other people think. I'm just being honest. Generally, it was other people's opinions and what they thought and what they believed, and I just wasn't interested. Doesn't mean I didn't care about them individually, because many of those folks were my family. But I just didn't want to listen to their opinion. You see, the world says your opinion matters over my opinion, or vice versa. And that's what the world wants you to believe. I think most of us had bought into this lie, including myself, that our opinions truly matter in society today. But when it comes down to the truth of the matter, even Paul addressed this in Romans chapter 14. Sometimes we want to refer to this as the scruple chapter, but I really like to call it the opinionated chapter. And as Paul's addressing this concept of what it means to have an opinion, we don't really know who the weaker, stronger brother is in this particular account as Paul's writing. We don't even know what brought about this particular aspect of this chapter and why Paul is writing this to the church in Rome, because he doesn't tell us. We just know there were problems. Some believe perhaps the weaker brethren in Romans chapter 14 are the Jewish Christians who have just come over from Judaism. You see, because they're struggling with this concept of having always followed the law of Moses and done everything under the Pentateuch and everything that they were instructed to do, but now they're having to change the way they've always done things. And some believe that the stronger brethren are the Gentiles who are obviously understanding the faith concept, but they're not struggling with how they used to live and what they used to follow. So there's a lot of finger pointing that's going on, but the problem was, Paul said, there's no unity within this body. And one of the things to remember is we're about to discuss opinions, and four important things I want us to consider with opinions this morning is, when it comes to being a Christian, do our opinions really matter? Paul says when it comes down to unity, and this is something I always heard from gospel preachers as I was growing up, in doctrine, unity, in opinions, liberty, but in everything, love or charity. So when it comes down to doctrinal issues, there are no opinions. There's only the standard by which God tells us that we follow and we're obedient to the gospel plan and the system that He's given us within the pages of the Bible. But when it comes to opinions, brethren, here's where we fall into line and we fall into trouble, because sometimes we make opinions doctrinal when they're not. And when we make opinions doctrinal when they're not, What begins to happen, and I've seen it numerous times, is the church is split because of opinions. And we become selfish because guess what? The world says your opinion matters. The world says you're the most important person in this, so tell everybody what you think. But that's not what Paul says to do. That's not what Paul says in how we address the person who might be the weaker brethren. That's not how Paul says as the weaker brethren we might address the person who's stronger in their faith. But sometimes really what we need to understand is Paul tells us to look within ourselves, to grow and to increase in knowledge. You might think you're strong when you're actually weak and vice versa. So, let's look at Romans chapter 14 for a few moments this morning and consider four important things concerning our opinions that we need to understand specifically as Paul opens up the very onset of this chapter discussing the idea of opinions. Paul writes in Romans 14, verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Maybe perhaps your version of the Bible says, in reference to receiving one, but not to quarrel over opinions. That's really what doubtful disputations are. Your opinion versus my opinion. From the very beginning, whatever the problem was taking place here at the church in Rome, they were arguing over opinions. But the Greek has this concept of the idea that if you're going to receive one into fellowship, and it's talking about Christian brethren, it's not talking about those outside the church, so let's understand that very quickly. Paul says if you're going to receive those who are weak in the faith, to have open arms and bring them into your fellowship. Don't quarrel over your opinions or what you think is right or what you think is incorrect, whatever the case is. The point is that we're bringing them within our fellowship with open arms to say we welcome you and we want you here. Paul says leave your opinions out of it. From the very beginning of this chapter, Paul says set your opinions aside and base your love on unity. Well, isn't that what we need to do? You go back to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how love is patient, kind, it doesn't vaunt itself, it's not puffed up, it's not unseemingly. All of these things Paul expresses the idea of love is what he's going to talk about here in Romans chapter 14 concerning the weaker brethren and the stronger brethren. Again, going back to the idea that don't argue over your opinions. Because guess what? We all have our opinions, don't we? And we only want our opinion to stand firm in the fact of the matter. But again, do our opinions truly matter? Notice what Paul talks about in relation to arguing over matters of opinion here in Romans chapter 14 and looking again at verse 2 and 3. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs, or as a vegetarian perhaps your version says. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. You don't have the right to judge that brother based upon what you think is right because God has already received him into the fold. So it's not my job to judge him and tell him he's wrong. Understand this. The Jews had always observed a strict diet, if that's who the weaker brethren is in the picture. And because the Jews have always observed a strict diet, now all of a sudden, God says everything you eat is clean. But wait, everything we've always had to eat and prepare has to be kosher and done in a specific way, in a specific manner that we can eat it. And because there was a large problem with pagan animals being then taken a portion of in these pagan temples, brought down to the market, many times the Jews didn't know what was clean and what was unclean, so rather than worry about it, they just abstained from it, period. So they said, we're just going to keep hands off and we're just going to remain vegetarians during this time. But then you had the stronger brethren, perhaps the Gentiles, who were taking this, who didn't see an issue with it, and taking this and eating it because they were simply hungry and they had never lived under the old law. But here's what Paul says. It doesn't matter if you think you're right or if you're wrong. Because in that, God says, I've received him into the fold. This isn't a matter of doctrinal prowess. This isn't a matter of a doctrinal issue. What this is an opinion matter. And if that brother wants to eat vegetables, then let him eat vegetables. If that brother thinks it's okay to eat meat that's been offered to idols because God is not making a standard anymore in relation to that, because we can go all the way back to the book of Acts and see where even Peter himself as an apostle struggled with that very concept as those visions were given unto him on the roof of Simon the Tanner. And he said, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's unclean, period. God says, you're not grasping the concept here. Because it's not just about food, it's about the Gentiles and about everything. Those people that I've called into my fold, you can no longer call them unclean. And if we're going to receive the weaker brother into the fold that's now learning what it means to be a Christian and no longer a Judaic individual that's under the old covenant, he's got to be weaker in the faith, therefore he's got to grow, and God says we've already allowed him in, so let him grow and don't judge him because of that concept. You know what we have a tendency to do? If I think my opinion is right over a specific matter that's not a doctrinal issue, then I'm going to force my opinion on yourself and I'm going to make you grow and learn that you're wrong. Brethren, that's called disunity, and that's called forcing your opinion on something that isn't true. And the Bible says that we cannot do those things in relation to what Paul is writing here in Romans chapter 14. There are some things that are biblical matters, and there are some things that are matters of opinion. And then there are things which are opinion matters that God says those things don't matter because it's only the standard by which I accept things that matter. But we have this tendency to say my opinion matters more than your opinion. You know, oftentimes when people argue, one of the reasons we argue so much and that we don't get anywhere is because we don't listen. You see, when we're arguing with somebody, the first thing we do, as they're arguing at us, what are we doing? Thinking about what I'm going to say in relation to what they're saying. So I'm not really listening, I'm just thinking about my opinion and how I better want to get my opinion across. We do it all the time, it's human nature. We're always going to have our opinions, but brother, when it comes to the church, it's not about opinions, it's about doctrine. It's about what God says is right and not about what we think should be right. Because really, when it comes down to the fact of the matter, our opinions don't matter anything when it comes to the Word of God. God's standard is what we set our guidance by. Obviously, you can't stop other people from expressing your opinions, or their opinions rather, but you can determine not to argue with them if it's going to cause a brother to stumble, as Paul is going to talk about here in just a few moments. Our job is to speak the truth in love, right? To be unified, not to be divided over opinions that don't cause us or give us salvation. Look at Romans 12 and verse 8. Paul says, you know, pretty much, so as far as depends on me, I'm going to live peaceably with all men. The toughest thing for us to do is swallow our pride and set our opinions off to the side and not cause an argument over something that truly doesn't matter. But there's something that Paul is going to flip on the backside of this that we need to take into consideration also. But one of the things he says is that you cannot judge others by your opinion. Now, we've never done that, right? Of course we have. Because, again, we're human, and because we like our opinions, we judge others by our opinions. But again, the Bible is the standard of right and wrong, not what we think is right and wrong. If someone is doing something that the Bible indicates is wrong, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 15 says we need to warn him as a brother. Sometimes that's hard for us to do, because we quickly want to justify and fix the situation, so therefore we don't always approach the situation in love, and we simply express our opinion rather than telling them, hey, brother, you know, this is what the Bible talks about here. But if someone is doing something about which you think, well, I would never do it that way, or I don't agree with the way they've done things, remind yourself your opinion is not the standard of right and wrong. I've seen it in the church too many times. I told you about the congregation, I did a gospel meeting several years ago in Tennessee, and I walked up to the brother before the evening service because typically it's a little bit different than the morning. And I said, well, how many songs do you sing before the prayer? He goes, well, brother, we do it the scriptural way, two songs. I don't read that in the Bible. No, you do it by your tradition, but not by Scripture. But you see, I could have come in and said, you know what? That's not the way we do things where I preach. You see, we sing three songs and then a prayer. So, therefore, you need to change it because that way is not right. You see, I'm judging you based upon how you do things because I disagree with that, and I don't think God would like that. That's not the way things are done. We do things by expediency in relation to our worship service, whether the Lord's Supper is the beginning or the end, as long as it's contained within the service of the worship. But I can't judge another congregation by the way they do things because that's not the way I do things. And I can't say, well, you're wrong for doing it this way because this is the way I've always done it. And I could have certainly got up before the congregation and said, the way you do things is all out of whack. You see, where we do it at my congregation is the correct way, and you're wrong for doing it this way. So therefore, I'm judging where I cannot judge, and I have no right to judge. You see, whether I think they're wrong or not is not by the standard of which they're going to be judged on the day of judgment. Notice verses 4 through 12. He says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up or held up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he that giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and he gives God thanks. Is that confusing? Paul says, listen, the Jews, if they are the weaker brethren, have always observed these holy days under the Jewish calendar. And you have to understand, again, they're coming over from something they had always been taught and that they'd always known. Again, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. All of these things were learned from childhood. And so they're coming over, always having observed the Sabbath, always having followed the Jewish calendar, and now they're coming over and they're worshiping on Sunday. They're doing things on the Sabbath perhaps they should not have done. Maybe they're eating when they shouldn't eat, observing things they shouldn't observe, and all of this is confusing to them. But Paul says, guess what? If they continue to observe these things because they're still growing in their faith as the weak brethren, guess what? You've got to be patient with them because love is patient, right? And because they're growing as they're weak in the faith and you being the stronger brother, if they choose to do that, they themselves are bringing glory to God. It's not a doctrinal issue. And if you choose not to observe those calendar days under the Jewish law, and if you choose to eat these particular meats, as long as you're doing it in faith, according to your conscience, Paul says, guess what? You too are bringing glory to God. So again, opinions go out the door here. The weaker brother could be right. The stronger brother can be right. But it's not for me to judge the individual and tell them whether they're right or wrong. That's not my job. He says, because guess what? We're all going to be judged based upon our servanthood to God. God's the one who's going to judge us in the last day, right? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That includes you and that includes me. And I'm not going to be judged on the person standing next to me based upon their opinions that I ate something that I shouldn't have eaten. Because guess what? On the day of judgment, he's not going to matter. The only person that's going to matter is me as I stand before God and how I'm going to be judged and how I lived my life. Look verse 10 or verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge your brother, and why dost thou set at naught your brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of God to himself. So again, all of us will stand before God and give an account of how we've acted in our lives. So I can't go and judge you and say, well, you know what? Let me give you a case in point. When I was preaching in Alabama, there was one of the ladies that attended the congregation there. Wonderful lady. And we had, guess what? You wouldn't believe this. We had a Walmart in the town. And about 3 years ago, they passed, as we see in many times during rural counties, as they fight it to the bitter end, they passed where you can now sell alcohol within the city limits of Fayette County. And they had gone against this for years and years and years. Well, finally, they brought it about. And because of that, Walmart now carried wine and beer within the store. And we had one particular lady. Because of that, would not now, she would not go to Walmart. Now, you might think it's silly, right? She would make her husband go, but she wasn't going. Because I saw John in there all the time. And I'd say, you're here for Miss Essie, aren't you?
Yep.
But to her, it bothered her conscience because they sold alcohol in the store. You see, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. This woman had been a Christian for 60-plus years, probably. I didn't think it was an issue. I just choose not to go down that aisle because I know as soon as I go down that aisle, another brother's going to be coming down the other side. But you see, I didn't think it was a big deal, and maybe I think I'm stronger in my faith, and I could have just said, Miss Essie, What's the big deal? You're not buying alcohol. You're not purchasing it. But to her, it bothered her in her faith as a sister in Christ because she didn't think that brought glory to God and that was okay. There was nothing wrong with that. She needed restaurants that sold alcohol because it bothered her conscience. Therefore, she didn't think she could glorify God in that manner. Now, do I disagree with that? I do. But at the same time, I'm not going to go up to Miss Essie and say, Miss Essie, you're wrong. And that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So don't worry about going into Walmart. It's not a big deal. Now, what have I caused her to do? I've now caused her to sin because she's violated her conscience and she has no longer done it in faith and she no longer glorifies God. You see, just because I think it's right doesn't mean it's right. And just because she thinks it's wrong doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong. As long as we're not going against the standard of the Word of God, then guess what? It's a matter of conscience. But the Bible also says not to violate that conscience because then I'm sinning against God and I'm sinning against myself. See the idea? So when it comes to matters of opinion, when it comes to my opinion and what I think is right or wrong by the standard of what this says in relation to my conscience, I have to follow my conscience. But I can't force that upon you to cause you to stumble because not only do I sin by putting that stumbling block in front of you, I also sin myself. And the Bible says to a weaker brother not to do that. So we can't judge others by what we think is right or what we think is wrong. Again, go back to verse 4. Who are you that judges another man's servant to his own master? He stands or falls. He will answer to God, not me. And again, now this tells me that I cannot cause that brother to stumble by flaunting my opinion. At this point, a lot of Christians say this. Yeah, I understand that, Larry, but you know what? I'm my own person and I can do whatever I want to do. That's true. I can't tell you what you can and can't do. The Bible can tell you that, but whether you follow it or not is up to you. But as I said from the beginning, the church was never a place designed for the selfish, for the individual, or the self-expression. That's not why the church was designed. The church was designed, as we sang earlier, that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, Colossians 3:17. So everything I do is done according to God's standards, that I bring glory to Him. And as long as I'm doing that, as long as I'm following the standards of the Bible, and as long as I'm not violating my own conscience, it's not my job to judge other people's opinions. Because by doing that and flaunting my own opinion, I'm saying that I'm better than they are. But brethren, that's not one of us in this room that's better than the other person. God is not a respecter of persons, is He? So therefore, I have no business being a respecter of persons. There's a real possibility that you can cause a brother to stumble by rushing ahead and not considering this person's sensitivities in relation to Miss Essie. I could have told her how silly that was for her to think that way. And I could have gone on and on and on and given her all kind of scriptures, perhaps why I thought it was wrong, based upon my opinion. And in that, I didn't consider the sensitivities of why that might bother her. I had a friend of mine that was reprimanded one Sunday night because he got caught mowing his grass on Sunday afternoon after church. And one of the older ladies of the congregation let him know really quick that he was sinning by mowing his grass on Sunday. Now, he could have simply said, well, Miss So-and-so, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard because we're not under the Sabbath law anymore. But he said, you know what? I won't do it anymore if it causes you a problem. You see, what he was doing was considering the feelings and the sensitivities of the other person, and perhaps in this case, he was the stronger brother who didn't want to cause the weaker brother to stumble. Therefore, he didn't flaunt his opinion of what he thought was right or wrong in that particular situation. You see, it goes back to speaking the truth in love and making sure that we're not divided but rather unified when it comes to Christ. Because guess what, brethren? As important as we think our opinions are, they really don't matter in the scheme of things when it comes to the Bible. We just like to think they do. You see, there are a lot of things that we have to understand when it comes to our opinions. But the main thing we understand is what the Bible says. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Paul writes, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That's an important statement, Paul says. To a church that was divided over doctrinal issues, over problems that were taking place within the church at Corinth, Paul says, I can do these things if I want, they're not wrong, but does it edify the other brother? Does it lift them up? Does it bring glory to God? Whether I think it's right or wrong, and whether my opinion might be right, if it doesn't edify this brother, if it doesn't build them up, if it doesn't bring glory to the church, brethren, it really doesn't matter to begin with. I've seen churches divided over opinions, over flower beds and chandeliers. Well, I don't like the flowers out front. I don't think those chandeliers bring the right light into the auditorium. Well, some sisters got mad because they didn't get to help pick it out, so they just quit coming to church. Do you know how ridiculous that sounds? Over matters of opinion that weren't doctrinal, that really didn't matter in the scheme of anything. I wanted to ask one lady, do you think those chandeliers are going to be in heaven? Do you think they're going to matter one iota? Probably not. But one of the things we have to do, and this is really hard, keep your opinions to yourself. Keep your opinions to yourself. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? Go back and look at your Facebook page over the last 2 weeks and see how well you did. Look at your Instagram account. See how well you did. You see, we're really quick to give our opinions. But notice what Paul says in Romans 14 and verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he allows. Not only should we do our best to keep our opinions to ourselves in the sense of not arguing over them, we should also keep our opinions to ourselves in the sense of not acting on them. Of course, our culture cries out, you can't squelch my personality. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me not to express myself. But again, how long is it going to take for us to realize that Christianity is counterculture? The world says a thing a specific way might be right, but Christianity countercultures that and says that really doesn't matter. The world says your opinion matters, even in areas of religion. The world says your opinion matters, so therefore make sure everybody knows about it, even if it's going to cause undue stress or unwanted disunity within the body of Christ. Go ahead and stress your opinion, but is it really worth splitting the church because of it? No. So as hard as it is for us, the Word of God says, the faith that you have, keep it between yourself and God, and blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Just because you don't see a problem with it is no reason to act upon it. And just because you have a problem with that is no reason to condemn somebody else because of it. And brethren, as hard as it is for us to keep our opinions to ourselves, Paul says the church is more important than your opinions. And I think that's something all of us, including myself, has to work harder at doing. You know, I watch college football. I'm really quick to give my opinions to the coaches when they do something wrong on TV. I watch these politicians. I'm really quick to give them my opinions on why they're doing everything wrong. But when it comes down to it, the only thing that matters is, are we following the God the way he wants us to? It doesn't matter what I think is right. It doesn't matter what I think is wrong, or what you think is right, or what you think is wrong. The only standard that matters is by which we're going to be saved. So I'm not going to give you my opinion this morning on what you've got to do to be saved. The world does. I'm going to tell you what God says you've got to do to be saved. Because guess what? I'm not going to judge you. And it's not based upon what I think is right concerning salvation. It's what God thinks is right. God says you've heard the word, you've got to then believe in what it tells you to do. Jesus said, no man comes unto me except the Father. Or Jesus said in relation to, if you believe in me, in John 14, verse 6, that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the standard by which we must follow. And if you believe in that, and if you truly want to do that, then the Bible says you've got to be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 12 and verse 8. But we've also got to be willing to confess with our mouths, confession, that Jesus is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And if you're ready to do that today, not based upon my opinion, the Bible says you must be obedient to the gospel by having your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. Acts 2.38 tells us that, 1 Peter 3.21, Acts 22.16, we're buried with Christ in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. All of those Bible verses tell us what we must do, not what Larry thinks you've got to do. So if you're ready to do that today, we want to help you. The garments are ready, the baptistry's prepared. But it's not my opinion, it's what God says we've got to do. And if you're here today and maybe your opinion has caused another brother to stumble, maybe you've been over-opinionated, as we all have from time to time, maybe that's something you're feeling that's weighing heavy on your heart that you want to fix, then we want to pray with you, we want to pray for you. But first, let me tell you this. If your opinion you think has caused a brother to stumble, go to that brother or sister and apologize to them. Tell them. After all, that's what the Bible tells us to do. And if we can help you, let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.